All right, so today's daf is Nun Hey, but we're going to start on the bottom of Nun Dalid Amud Beis. Remember again, two dots. Now the E lines up from the bottom. Parosel Shabalaza Ben Azayis. Remember again, the Mishnah said that Halach Lameisa, an animal, a cow, can't go out with the Ritzua Shabin Karneha. Can't go out with the strap between its horns. We said either one of two possibilities. Either because it's Shmir Yisera's unnecessary level of guarding, or because it's Lanoi, it's just simply to go ahead and for beautification purposes. Either way, it's considered to be a masui. It's considered to be a burden of the animal, and therefore the animal can't go out. So the Mishnah said that the cow of Elazar ben Azariah went out with its Ritzua Shebein Karnel, and the Chachamim were not happy with this. So the Gemara says the following. Did Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah only have one cow? We'll say this is amazing. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah's Maiser Behema was 12,000 cows each and every year. Now remember, your Maiser Behema is one out of every 10 animals. So literally, bless you, see, he had 12,000 cows as his Maiser. Now you know, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was fabulously wealthy. Fabulously wealthy. Not because he worked in Jewish communal service, right? He was fabulously wealthy. He was independently wealthy, which is one of the reasons he was what?
Anivus.
Who? Because of his.
Because you work in.
Oh, yeah. Right, interesting enough, one of the reasons, actually, he felt confident. Remember, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is the one who becomes the Nasi after Rabbi Gamliel is deposed. One of the reasons he's willing to go ahead and take on this position is because he doesn't have to rely on anyone for a salary. This idea, because he was financially independent, he felt gave him the autonomy to do what he wanted to do. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah had one cow, his Maaser Behema was 12,000 cows. So why don't we talk about one fashtuk in a cow, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah? So the Gemara says, no. The Gemara says the following, Tana, lo shelo haisa, the cow actually wasn't his. Ella shel shcheinaso haisa. Rather, the cow that went out with the Ritzua Shebein Karnel was his neighbor's cow. So why is Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah faulted for the fact that his neighbor's cow went out with the Ritzua Shebein Karnel on Shabbos? Listen to this. Umitoch shelo michaba nikreis al shemo. Because Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah did not object to the activity of his to the behavior of his neighbor, then he's held responsible for the behavior of his neighbor. Elazar ben Azariah saw what was happening with the cow of the neighbor. He should have said something. He didn't say something, and therefore he's held responsible as if it was his own cow that went out. Rav of Rabbi Hanina, Rabbi Yochanan, and Rabbi Chaviva. So we'll say Rav, Rabbi Hanina, Rabbi Yochanan, and Rav Chaviva. Masnu bekulei d'sei d'moid ki kol ki haizuga. So the Gemara says, whenever you see this group mentioned in Seder Moed, chilufei Rabbi Yochanan u'me'ayil Rabbi Yonason. Take Rabbi Yochanan out of the list and put in Rabbi Yonason instead. Okay, the point is, this group said, komi she'efshar limchos la'anshe beso v'lomicha, nitpas al'anshe beso. Whoever has the ability to go ahead and object to the negative behavior of the members of his household and does not do so is held responsible for the negative activity of the members of his household. Right? So the idea of say is, if you have the ability to influence your family and you do not, you are held responsible when they do wrong things. Ba'an she'iro, nitpas alan she'iro. If you have the ability to influence the people of your city and you don't do so, and as a result they engage in negative activity, you are held responsible for their actions as well. But now, they're also held responsible for their actions. But so am I. If I had the ability to go ahead and influence them and I didn't, I'm also held responsible. Bechola olam kulo, if I have the ability to influence the whole world, now the whole world over here is much smaller than the whole world over here, means the whole Jewish world. If I have the ability to, you'll see why in just a moment, if I have the ability to influence the entire Jewish world, and I don't, nitpas al kolo olam kulo, I am held responsible then for the wrongdoings of the entire world. Amar Rav Papa, v'hani resh galusa, nitpasu al kuli alma. So Rav Papa says, you want to see an example of someone who's held responsible for the entire world? Look at the resh galusa. The resh galusa was the head of the Jews in the Galus, and the resh galusa really had an incredible amount of sway over the Jewish community. So the resh galusa often did not exercise its power appropriately, and therefore is held responsible for the wrongdoings of the Jewish community. So the Gemara says, ki hada amar Rabbi Chanina, mai dichsev. So if you want to see a pasuk that supports this idea, Rabbi Chanina says, what's the meaning of the pasuk? Hashem b'mishpat yavo im zikne amo v'sarav. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will come in judgment, right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu will come in judgment with Zikne Amo, with the elders of his nation, and Sarav. Sarav means its officers. Im Sarim Chatu, if the officers, if the leaders have sinned, Zik Tap of Nunhei. Zikanim Ma Chatu, what did the Zikanim do wrong? The Gemara says, Ela Ima al Zikanim Shalom Michu Bisarim. Rather, says the Gemara, the reason why the Zikanim are held responsible is because they should have rebuked, right? They should have had a watchful eye on the Sarim. So the pasuk says the Gemara that those who have the ability to rebuke and urge people to engage in course correcting activity, but do not do so, are held responsible for the wrongdoings of the populace as well. So just looping all the way back, therefore the Mishnah says that although it was not Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah's cow that was going out with Tzur Shabin Karnel, it was the cow of his neighbor, but he had the ability to object to this practice and he didn't, and therefore he's held responsible as if he did it himself. Rabbi Yehuda Hava Yosef Kamei de Shmuel. So Rabbi Yehuda was sitting in front of Shmuel. Asiyahi Isisa, there was a particular woman who came to the Beis Din. Katsabcha Kameh, she was crying out. She was crying out. Now she was crying out about some circumstance that she was having problems with. V'lo hava mashgachba. But interestingly enough, Shmuel didn't pay any attention to her. Amar Lei, so Rabbi Yehuda said to Shmuel, lo sover leimar, does the master not hold of the pasuk? Otem ozno mizakas dal. That's what it's from Mishlei. One who goes ahead and literally closes off his ear from the cries of the impoverished, gam hu yikra velo ya'ane. So too, he will call out to God and he will not be answered. So meaning Rav Yehuda, who's the Talmud of Shmuel, by the way, Rav Yehuda is a little bit surprised at the behavior of his Rebbe, that here this woman's coming into Beis Din crying out, she has some kind of problem, and Shmuel's not paying attention to her. Amar Lei, shinina, so Shmuel said to Rav Yehuda, shinina, sharp one. That's a compliment, sharp one. Reshach bekriri, literally your head is in cold water. Reshach de reshach bechamimi, but the head of your head is in hot water. So what does that mean? So the Gemara says, Ha Yosef Mar Ukva Av Beis Din, because Mar Ukva, who is the Av Beis Din, is sitting here. So Shmuel essentially said, you're right, I should have paid attention to her. But at the end of the day, the fault's not really going to be on my shoulders. The fault's going to be on Mar Ukva's shoulders. Why? Because Mar Ukva is the Av Beis Din, and he never admonished us for ignoring people when they came into Beis Din and cried out. So Shmuel is saying, Reshach, Shmuel's talking to Rabbi Yehuda, your head, which means me, Shmuel, because I'm your Rebbe, I'm in cold water, I'm going to be okay. But Reshach, the Reshach, the head of your head, Mar Ukva, who's responsible for all of us, he's going to be in hot water. Because he had the ability to go ahead and admonish us for this type of behavior in the past, and he never did so. Dichsiv, based, he quotes over here the pasuk from Yirmiyahu, based David, Ko Amar Hashem, Dinu Laboker Mishpat, Vatsilu Gozel, Miyad Oshik, Penteitse Esh Chamosi, Uvaara, Ve'in Chabe Mitnei Roa Ma'alalehem. Okay, so the Gemara says the following. Take a look at Rashi for just a moment. Dichsiv, based David, Lo Anosh Ela Misha Biyado Lishpot. See, interestingly enough, when Yirmiyahu Hanavi is talking about the fact that the Jewish people are going to be destroyed, or the Eretz Yisrael is going to be destroyed, the Beis Hamikdash is going to be destroyed, see, he puts blame in those who had the ability to judge, but did not adjudicate properly. Therefore, says Shmuel, it's going to be Mar Ukva, the Av Beis Din, is held responsible for our wrongdoings. Amrali Rabbi Zeir, Rabbi Simon. Rabbi Zeir says to Rabbi Simon the following idea. Lochachinhu mar lahani de beresh galusa. So the master, right, master, so this is Rabbi Zeri, said to Rabbi Simon, Rabbi, you should really rebuke the members of the house of the Resh Galusa. Why? Because like we said before, the Resh Galusa has the ability to go ahead and rebuke the populace, and they're not. Not only that, but often the Resh Galusa, it wasn't Resh Galusa himself, but often the members of the Resh Galusa's household often abused their power. So Rabbi Zeir says to Rabbi Simon, Rabbi, why don't you rebuke the members of the house of the Resh Galusa? Amar Lei lo mekavli minoi. So to which Rabbi Simon responded, they're not going to listen to me. Amar Lei, so Rabbi Zeir said, if that's the case, afa gav de lo mekavli lo chachin humar. Just because they're not going to listen doesn't free you of the obligation to rebuke them. Do amar av acha bravi chanina, me olam lo yotasa mida tova mipi HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'chazer ba'al ra'a. So listen to this, because Rabbi Acha, sending Rabbi Baruch Chinina, said the following, that in general, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes a promise to do something good, that promise comes to fruition. God does not renege on that promise. The only time God reneged on a promise to do something good is when people shirked their responsibility to rebuke others. Dichsiv. Now here he quotes the pasuk from Yechezkel. Dichsiv. Vayomer Hashem Elav. Now this is talking about a vision that Yechezkel had about the destruction of Yerushalayim. So Vayomer Hashem Elav, God said to him, Avor b'soch ha'ir b'soch Yerushalayim, go within the city, within Yerushalayim, v'his visa tav amitzchos ha'anoshim ha'ne'enochim v'ha'ne'enokim al kol ha'to'ivos ha'na'asos b'socha, and put a letter tav on the forehead of all of those who are crying out and are moaning because of all the wrong that is being done in Yerushalayim. So what does this mean? Only HaKadosh Baruch Hu leGavriel. God said to the Malach Gavriel, Lech urishom al mitzchon shel tzadikim tav shel dio. Go and write on the forehead of the tzadikim the letter tav of ink, shelo yishlutu bahem malachi chavola, in order that the destructive angels not do anything to them. So what's happening over here is HaKadosh Baruch Hu is marking the tzadikim, that the tzadikim should be saved from the destruction of Yerushalayim. Ve'al mitzchon shel rishoim tav shel dam, and on the forehead of the wicked, put a tuff of blood in order that they're marked for destruction. We'll discuss why tuff later on. Amra midas hadin lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ribono shel olam manish tanu elu me'elu. So what happened? So the malachi chavola, the midas hadin, the strict attribute of justice, said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, tell me God, what's the difference between these and those? What really distinguishes between the tzaddikim and the rishonim? Amar lo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to midas hadin, halalu tzaddikim gimurim v'halalu rishonim gimurim. The ones who are marked with the tuff of dio, the tuff of ink, those are tzaddikim gimurim. And the ones marked with the tuff of blood, those are rishonim gimurim. Amar, listen to this. Amar lefana ribono shel olam, haya biyadam limchos velo michu. But midas hadin says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but why should the tzaddikim be saved? Because the tzaddikim had the ability to what? To rebuke, to be mochiach the wicked, and perhaps remember also the whole idea of rebuking is that you help people change their ways. Sometimes people don't even realize the full profundity of what it is that they're doing. The tzaddikim had the ability to influence those around them, and they did not. Amar la, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Galui v'yadua lefanai, shemichu bahem lo yikablu mehem. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to me, that's hadin, we both know that even if the tzaddikim would have rebuked the wicked, the wicked would have what? The wicked would not have accepted it. The wicked would not have changed. So look what Midas Hadin says. Amar lefana ribono shel olam. Im lefanecha goloi, lahem migoloi. So Midas Hadin says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, just because you know, they did not know. Meaning a person has an obligation to try their best in any circumstance. You're right, maybe it will work, maybe it won't work. But you still have an obligation to try. V'hainu d'chsev, so amazingly enough, what appears is that Midas Hadin bested God, so to speak. That Midas Hadin ultimately says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the tzaddikim are just as culpable as the Rishon, because the tzaddikim did not try to rebuke the wicked and help them mend their ways. V'hainu d'chsev, and this is what the pasuk means when it says, again, quoting the pasuk from Yechezkel, just a couple of psukim later, Zokein, the old people, Bachar u'besula, young men, young women, Taf, women, Nashim, children, Tahargu lamashkis, Va'al kol ish asher alav hatov, al tigashu. Now listen to this. Now the pasuk says, and anyone who has a tov on his forehead, don't come close to him. Now this would seem to me that the tzaddikim will be saved. But yet amazingly enough, what does the next phrase say? U'mimikdoshi tachilu. But start the destruction from my mikdosh. Uksiv, and the pasuk says, Vayachilu ba'anoshim hazekinim, where did the destruction begin with? The destruction began with the elders who were in front of the bayis. Tani Rav Yosef al tikri mikdoshi. Don't vocalize it as mikdoshi. Ella mikudishai. Rather, read it as my sanctified ones. Elu bnei adam shekimu as haTorah kula me alif ad tof. This refers to the people who fulfill the entire Torah from beginning to end, alif to tof. Umiyad v'hini shisha anoshim ba'im miderech shara elyon asher mipinot tzfona. And then what does the next pasuk say? Six men came from the gateway. V'ish kli mafzo biyado, and each one had his kli mafzo. Kli mafzo ultimately means his shattering weapon in his hand. V'ish echad besocham, there was one man within them, levush habadim, who was wearing again the linen clothing, ukeses hasover masnov, the sofer's inkwell. We're not going to, there's a lot of metaphor in these psukim which we're not going to get into now, we'll just translate it. Vayavo v'yamdu etzel mizbach hanachoshes. And they came and they stood by the copper mizbech. Now remember, Rabbosai, all of this is a vision that Yechezkel has about the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash and Yerushalayim. So they came and they stood by the copper mizbeach. Mizbeach HaNechoshes Mihava, was there actually a copper mizbeach? Now, Rabbosai, I remember, already in the times of when Shlomo HaMelech built the Beis HaMikdash, the copper mizbeach that they had from the Mishkan was too small. So Shlomo HaMelech built a stone mizbeach. So was there a copper mizbeach? So the Gemara says, Amrlu HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hischilu Mimakom Sho'omrim Shir Lefanai. Begin the destruction from the very place in which they sing Shira to me, the makom of the Mizbeach. Oman ninhu shisha anashim, and who are these six men? Amr Chista, they are Katzef, fury, Af, anger, Chema, wrath, Mashchis, destruction, Meshaber, breaking, Umechala, and ultimate, Mechala means just desolation, thank you, right? Kilui, nothingness. So Rabbosai, so what's the point of this Gemara? The point of this Gemara is that what sealed the fate of the righteous of Jerusalem, they kept Kol Torah Kula from Aleph until Tav, what sealed their fate is what the Midas Adin said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that they had the ability to rebuke the general populace, and they did not. So we see from here that although when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says something positive, God never recants, He never retracts it, with one exception. With the exception of people who had the ability to be mocha and were not mocha. That's the only thing that could cause God to go ahead and reverse a positive decree. Originally he told Malachi Chabolo, write the Tav on their forehead to save them, and in the end he destroyed them. Amarav, so I'll say now the Gemara says, Umayshna Tav. Why a Tav? Right? Why the letter Tav? So the Gemara says a couple of different symbolisms to it. So Amarav, Tav Tichya. So Tav stands for Tichya. The person should live. Tav Tamos. So to by the Rishon, it was put on their forehead to represent they should die. Ushmuel Amar, Tama Zuchus Avos. Shmuel says that the Tav refers to the fact that Zuchus Avos has run out. That Rabbo say, we no longer have any merit of the patriarchs and matriarchs. That's Zuchus. Those Zuchuyos have run out. Rabbi Yochanan says, Tachun Zuchus Avos. That ultimately, that the Zchus Avos should give us grace, should give us favor. Reish Lakish Amar, Tav Sov Chosama Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Reish Lakish says the symbolism of the letter Tav is that it is the end of the seal of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What does that mean? Do Amar Rabbi Hanina, Chosama Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu MS. Because Rabbi Hanina said that literally the signet, right, the seal of God is MS, and therefore Tav represents the end of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's seal. Amar Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmani, Elu b'nei Adam, shekaimu es haTorah kula me'alef atav. The Tav was to symbolize the fact that the individuals who are marked with it fulfill the entire Torah from Aleph until Tav. Okay, so now Rabbi says, so that's the end of that Gemara. So the bottom line from that Gemara is that halacha l'maaseh, there's an obligation to rebuke when you see something wrong being done, and even if what? Even if you're not sure that the person is going to listen to you, still obligated to try. I actually mentioned last night between Mincha and Meirid, the Taptosis points out over something very interesting, that there's only an obligation for rebuke when there's at least a possibility that the person is going to listen to you. If you know that there's absolutely no possibility that the person is going to listen to you, then there's no mitzvah of rebuke, because Tosa says, Mutav shu shogigin v'ayu mezidin. It's better for a person to be an accidental sinner than to be an intentional sinner. So this, of course, are very difficult situations in life, where sometimes it's hard to gauge if a person is going to be receptive to what it is that I have to say or not. If there's a possibility of receptivity, then I have an obligation to tell them what the truth is and what they're doing is wrong. If there's absolutely no possibility at all, then one perhaps can make the argument that halacha l'maisa, better for the person not to even realize the full profundity of what they're doing than to tell them and to still have them go on in their sinning. A complicated discussion, halacha. So the Gemara said the following. So now the Gemara made a very dramatic statement that Zuchus Avos, and I will say it's a little bit scary, but that the merit of our patriarchs has run out. that we can no longer bank on that. Rabbi said, means something very scary. That means that when we say Elokei Avram, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov, and getting a Shmona Esrei, pretty much what we say it is to go ahead and show HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we have a long-standing relationship with Him, but we can't actually do anything with that. Meaning that we can't actually go ahead and draw on that for any kind of actual zechus. So the Gemara says, when did it run out? Amarav, Mimos Hoshe ben Beiri. So Rav says, already from the days of Hoshe ben Beiri. Why, what is the pasuk say? Shine Emar. He quotes over here the pasuk from Hoshea. Agala as Nivulasa, le'inei ma'aveha, v'ish lo yatzilena miyadi. So look at Rashi for just a moment. So Rashi says, v'ish lo yatzilena, she'ein od zuchus la'avos she'achalua. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is literally, I will go ahead and expose her disgusting behavior in the eyes of her lovers, and no one will save her from my hand. So the no one means that not even the avos could save Klal Yisrael ultimately from their wicked deeds. U'shmuel amar mimei chazoel. Shmuel says from the days of Chazoel, who was the king of Aram, she'ne'emar, v'chazoel melech Aram, lochaz es Yisrael, lochaz es Yisrael, kol yimei Yo'achaz. So Chazoel, the king of Aram, afflicted the Jewish people all days of Yo'achaz, uksiv, and the pasuk says, Vayochan, Vayochan Hashem Osam, Vayirachamim, Vayifen Alim Lema Brisos Avram Es Yitzchok Vyakov, Velo Ava Hashchisam, Velo Hishlicha Me'aponav Ad Ata. So the idea of the Gemara is dashing Ad Ata, that it was only in those times that they had the ability to draw on Schus Abels, but after the days of, but essentially with the episode with Chazoel, it was used up. Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi or Me Elio. Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi says that Schus Abels was used up in the days of Elio Hanabi. Why? What happened with Elio? What happened with Elio? I'm sorry, I just lost the place. Shneimar, vayhi ba'alos hamincha, when Elio offered the carbon, vayigash Elio hanavi, vayomer Hashem Elokei Avram Yitzchak v'Yisrael, hayom yodea ki ato Elokim v'Yisrael, v'ani avdecha, u'bidvarcha asisi es kol hadvarim ha'ela. So ultimately, the fact that Elio hanavi uses the lashon of Hashem Elokei Avram Yitzchak v'Yisrael, hayom. So today, we could use Chus Avos. But after today, it's pretty much done. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Mimei Chizkio. Rabbi Yochanan says in the days of Chizkio, Chus Avos was used. Dav Shene Emar, so he quotes over here the pasuk from Yeshaya, Lemar Be Hamishra Ulashalom Ein Kates, Al Kisei David, Va'al Kisei Mamlachto, Laholchin Osa, Ulasa'ada Be Mishpat, Ubitzdoka, Me'ata Vi'ad Olam, Kinas Hashem Tzivakos Ta'asezos. So what the pasuk says ultimately is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will go ahead and will take care of the Jewish people as a result of what? Kinas Hashem Tzivakos. The zealousness of God. So it's the zealousness of God that carries the day for Klal Yisrael, but what? But nothing else. I.e. no more Zuchos Avos. So we'll say, you should just know, this in and of itself is a machlokes. Others disagree with this idea and say, no, Zuchos Avos has not run out. But it is interesting to see that according to this particular approach, the notion of just simply relying on the merits of the past to carry the day for us, at least according to many opinions expressed over here, halacha lemaisa is no longer an option. That if we need things to happen, then ultimately we have to go ahead and make it happen ourselves and cannot rely on what occurred in the past. The one exception to this, by the way, may be, the Maharsho points out as well, on Yamim Noraim. Because if you notice, like on Yamim Noraim, we definitely make a lot of connection to the Avos and to the Imos. So it could be that perhaps during Yom Noraim, Days of Judgment, which is a particular Eis Ratzon, a particular time where God makes Himself available for us, that may be the one time during the year where we can rely on Zuchus Avos, even if Zuchus Avos has run out during the rest of the year. Okay. Amar Rav Ami. I'm sorry? I guess the Gemara here would say it's a good thing. It's a good thing because you're expressing kavod to the avos and the mos, but there we can't necessarily rely on their zechuyos to do anything.
It doesn't necessarily mean they're not going to give you anything.
It's
not going to help.
Yeah, correct. Everything helps. Everything helps. The shaila is, will it carry the day or not? Will it carry the day? Amar Rav Ami ein misa b'lo chet ve'ein yisrim b'lo avam. So Rav Ami says the following: there is no such thing as death without sin, and no suffering without sin. So what does this mean? That according to Rav Ami, the notion death is always associated with sin. When a person dies, people only die as a result of their sins. as a result of their sins. We'll discuss exactly what that means. And so too, suffering. There's no such thing as suffering that also is not brought on by some level of sinful behavior. So the Gemara says, "In nisa belochet." What does it mean that there's no death without sin? D'chsev hanefesh hachota sitamus. Okay, the pasuk is kind of explicit, right? So the Torah says, excuse me, the Navi says, "Hanefesh achotas," or achotes, I should say, the soul that sins will die. Will die. Ben lo yisa ba'avon ha'av, va'av lo yisa ba'avon ha'ben. Tzidkas hatzadik ti'alav, v'rishas harasha ti'alav. Fine. En yisurim below avon. There is no suffering without sin. D'chsev upakarati, quotes over from the pasuk from Tehillim, upakarati b'shevet pisham. Literally, I will visit upon them with the staff of their wrongdoing. So you see over here that David HaMelech is saying that suffering comes about because of one's sinful behavior. But the Gemara raises a contradiction. The angel said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shel Olam, Mipnei Ma Kanas Da Mista Misal Adam Harishon. So the Malachim asked God, God, why did you decree death upon Adam Harishon? Amar lahem, so God says, mitzvah kalat tzivisiv va'avra aleha. Very simple. I gave Adam one very simple rule, right? Don't eat from the eighth das tovara, and Adam HaRishon did not follow it. Amar lei, v'halo Moshe v'ar. So therefore, again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, so Rabbi said, this is the one part we know that at least original death is associated with sin. Now, what exactly that means? Was there no death before Adam HaRishon, or perhaps according to the Ramban, but the real punishment of Adam HaRishon was what we call untimely death, early death. The way the world was supposed to work is people were supposed to live to an old age, and they would die at a certain point, because mortality is a very important part of it's the greatest catalyst to do something significant in life. If you're immortal, there's absolutely no reason to get out of bed, because you always have tomorrow and the next day. Mortality is the ultimate catalyst to accomplish something great. So we had the sin of the punishment of the Marishon was that people die early. That could be. All right, whatever it is, the point the Gemara is making over here is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says the concept or notion of death is associated with the sin of Adam HaRishon. I gave Adam one simple mitzvah. Don't eat, bless you. Don't eat from the eighth das Torah, and he violated it. Amar lei the Malachim said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, V'halo Moshe v'Aron shekaimu kol HaTorah kula umesu. What about Moshe and Aaron, who went ahead and kept the entire Torah, and yet they died? Amar lei, Nikra echa letzadik ulerashon ato. So Kadosh Baruch Hu responds. Kadosh Baruch Hu responds by quoting from Koheles, so to speak. The Gemara quotes from Koheles that there's one law for the tzadik and for the rasha. Meaning, after the sin of Adam HaRishon, everyone suffers the same end, which is death. Whether you're totally pious or not, everybody dies. So the Gemara says, Hu d'amar ki aitana, d'sanya, Rishon ben Elazar Omer, Af Moshe ba'aron b'cheta mesu. So the truth is, the Gemara says that no, Rabbi Shimon Elazar says that even Moshe and Aaron also died as a result of their own sin. Meaning Moshe and Aaron were not blameless. Shene Emar, Yan lo ha'emantem bi. Remember HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe and Aaron, after Moshe hit the rock, and Aaron is standing there, doesn't do anything to stop his brother, kind of segueing back to our previous Gemara. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Ya'en lo ha'emantem bi. You did not fully believe in me, and therefore again, you're not going to go into Eretz Yisrael. So the Rabbi Shimon Elazar says, Moshe and Aaron also died as a result of their own sin. Ha ha'emantem bi, if you would have believed in me, adayin lo higia zmanchem lipatra min ha'olam. It would not yet have been your time to leave this world. Meisve, Sigma raises the kasha. Arba'a meisu be'etchav shal nachash. There are four people that died as a result of the council. Rashi says, ba'atsoso. There are four people that died as the result of the council of the snake. Now what does that mean about the snake? So Rashi points out, obviously, was the snake that convinced Chava to go ahead and eat from the eighth das tovara. So when it says that there are four people that died as a result of the council of the Nachash, what it means is there are four people that died only because death was decreed upon humanity as a result of the sin of the snake. Meaning that by themselves, right, according to their own merit, they would have lived forever. They only died because death was decreed by humanity. And who are they? They Eluhin, Binyamin ben Yaakov, Binyamin the son of Yaakov, Amram Avi Moshe, Amram the father of Moshe, and Yishai Avi David, Yishai the father of David, Ukilav ben David, and Kilav the son of David. Vikulu Gimara, now all of that, we don't have a proof to any of these things. They're all based on tradition. Levarmi Yishai. With the exception of Yishai. Now, also, we don't have an explicit pasuk for Yishai either. But at least for Yishai, we have a veiled reference in the pasuk. Why? What does the pasuk say? Listen to this. The mefarish beikra. The pasuk makes reference to it. So the pasuk says, "Ve'es amasa." The es amasa son of Shalom tachas Yoav. So talking about again after Avshalom went ahead and rebelled against his father, all the different people he installed in the various positions. So he put Amasa instead of Yoav, who was the head of the army, Sarat Tzava, the Amasa ben Ish, Ushmo Yisra HaYisraeli. And Amasa was the son of a man whose name was Yisra the Israeli, Asher Boel Avigail Bas Nachash, Achas Tzurura Eim Yoav. So the Navi identifies this girl as Avigail Bas Nachash. Now Avigail was David HaMelech's sister. Yeah, he told him about a couple of Avigails in his life, but one of them was his sister Avigail. So why does he call her V'chi Bas Nachash Havi? Why do they call her the daughter of Nachash? Who was she? V'halo Bas Yishai Havi. She was the daughter of Yishai. V'chsev V'achiyosein Tziruya V'Avigail. So why does it call her the daughter of Nachash? Ela Bas Mi Shemes Ba'atyav Shal Nachash. Right? And ultimately, again, because why does it call the daughter of Nachash? She was the daughter of the man who died only as a result of the counsel of the Nachash. Which means, the Gemara says, you see from here, that Yishai was so pious and so virtuous that the only reason he died, he didn't have any sin that ultimately would lead to death. The only reason he died was because of the counsel of the Nachash. The fact that death was decreed upon humanity. So the Gemara says, money. Ilei matana de malachi asharis, v'ha'ika Moshe v'aron. So the Gemara says, well, here's the problem. Whose opinion does this reflect? Because at the end of the day, if you go to Tana of the Brisa of the Malachi Asharis, there's the case of Moshe and Aaron, who ultimately also died without sin. El lav Rabbi Shimon Elazarhi, Ushmamina, Yesh Misa Belo Chet, V'yesh Yisrun Belo Avon, V'tiyufta Derab Ami Tiyufta. So both say, the point that the Gemara is making is the one thing that the Yishai Brisa teaches us is what? Is that Halacha L'maisa, there is a concept of death without sin. Just like there's a concept of what? Suffering without sin. That not every single act of death and not every single act of suffering has to be rooted in something bad that a person did. And Yishai is the perfect raya to that. So also, I just want to point out over here, this becomes a major philosophical debate. Between, on one hand, you have Rabbi Ami's statement that death is always associated with personal sin, and suffering is always associated. That's a very strong statement. According to Rabbi Ami, that means that if you're suffering, whatever your suffering is in life, it means you did something wrong. The Gemara ends off just by saying, not everybody agrees with that. That philosophically, there are those who hold that there is death and there is suffering in life without sin. The concept of tzaddik v'ralo, that right, that bad things do happen to righteous people even through no fault of their own. So here, that major philosophical argument is unfolding right over here. Eov is one, right? Yeah, but the point that they're making is you have conflicting themes and you have conflicting psukim. So you have examples that go both ways. Yeah, but that go both ways. The Gemara groups both of them together, right? So Bar Shkalan, the Marasha points that out. That why does the Gemara say a reputation for Yisurin? So apparently, because the Gemara assumes that whatever is going to be true for Misa will be true for Yisurin. Ultimately, because Misa is the ultimate paradigm of Yisurin. Weiter. Omer Shulam Achmani Anav Yorasan. Chala Omer Ruvein Chata Eino Elatoa. So we'll say now we're going to get into a very interesting series of Gemaras. Whoever says that Reuven sinned is making a mistake. Now, what is it referring to over here? The Torah says that Reuven slept with his father's maidservant Bilhah. So the Gemara is going to understand that when the Torah says that about Reuven, that is not a literal statement. So if the Gemara says, whoever says that Reuven made a mistake, that Reuven sinned, Eina Elato is making a mistake. Shene Emar, Vayubene Yaakov Shneim Asar, Melamed Shekulam Shkulam Ka'achos. The fact that the Torah says at the end of Parshas Vayechi that the sons of Yaakov were 12 indicates that what? That all of them were one. Shkulam ka'achos. That ultimately all of them were like each other, that all of them were pious. So then what does it mean when the pasuk says that Reuben slept with Bilhah, the concubine of his father? Melamed Shebilbel Matso'u Shal Aviv. It means that he moved his father's bed. Remember, well, we'll see in just a moment. And because he tampered with the bed of his father, which he should not have done, tampering with the bed of his father was just as grievous in the eyes of the Torah as if he would have slept with his father's concubine. Tanya, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Mutzal osa tzadik me osa avon. Reuven was saved from that particular aveira. Velo ba maisa zeliyado. And this action, this event, never came to his hand, which means that Reuven never slept with his father's concubine. Afshar asid zaro lamod al har eval. Velomar arur shochivim eshes aviv. V'yavo chit zeliyado. So Shimon says something very interesting, because remember, one of the shvatim that stood on har eval and said the curse, of course it is the one who sleeps with his father's wife. Could it be that the descendants of the man who did this would actually utter this curse? So what does the pasuk mean when it says that he slept with Bila, the Pilagesh of his father? Ilavon imo tava. He literally was trying to go ahead and remedy the disgrace of his mother. Amar, im achos imi haiset sara the imi. He said, if my mother's sister was competition for her, shifchas achos imi teitzar leimi, should the maidservant of my mother's sister be a source of competition for her? Amad ubilbel es matzah. Therefore, Yaakov got up and moved his father's, Reuven got up and moved his father's bed. So what says the famous ma'isa? So we know that after Rachel Imenu died, so Yaakov Avinu put his bed in the tent of Bilhah, who was the maidservant of Rachel. The assumption was that I guess she was the closest thing he had to Rachel. Reuven was incensed by this. How could it be? You know, my mother always took a back seat to Rachel Imenu when she was alive. At least now when she's dead, my mother should become the primary wife. How dare father put his bed, you know, establish his primary place for his bed in the tent of the maidservant? So Reuven took it upon himself to get up and move the bed. So the Gemara understands that the notion of tampering with his father's bed was such a lack of kavod, such a defiance of his father, as terrible and almost as inappropriate as had he slept with his father's concubine. Others say, also, this is quite amazing. Shtei matzos bilbel. He actually moved two beds. Achaz shal shchina v'achaz shal aviv. One of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and one of his father. Look at Rashi for just a moment. This is amazing. Achaz shal shchina, Rashi says, kach haya Yaakov osa ba'arba olei nashav, ma'amid mita l'shchina, uba'osa oel shuhu roe bo'ashchina, who bought the lan also. This is actually quite amazing that Rashi says that Yaakov Avinu actually had, or it literally means a bed, an additional like couch for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And wherever he saw the Shekhinah, in whatever tent he saw the Shekhinah, that's where ultimately he stayed for that particular evening. So Reuven didn't just move his father's bed, but he moved whatever this couch was for the Shekhinah as well. And that's why he is dealt with in such a severe way in the Torah. V'hainu d'chsiv, az chilalto. And that's why the pasuk says, "As chilato yitzui Allah, al tikri yitzui el yitzui." So that's why, again, it's almost phrased in the plural that you've gone ahead and moved my beds. Kitanoi. So the Gemara records, "This is machlokes tanoim, pachas kamayim al tosar." So the Gemara says, so literally, pachas kamayim means, you know, the article of Chumash uses this translation of, you know, water-like impetuosity. So what does that mean? That just like water can't be controlled, right? Water just flows. Wherever you give it an opening, it'll flow. So Reuven, that's like you. You're like impetuous. You move around like the water. Al tosar. Therefore, you cannot be in the front. You cannot lead. So Rabbi Lazar says the following. What you're going to see is they hold that pachas is like an acrostic. So what does pachas mean? Rabbi Lazar Omer, pasta, chavsa, zolsa. Pasta, you acted hastily. Chavsa, therefore you are liable. Zolsa, you belittled me. Belittled me being Yaakov. Rabbi Yeshua says, pasata al das, you trampled over the rules. Chatasa, you sinned. Zanisa, you acted immorally. Now, I both said, what's interesting over here is, according to some of these approaches, there actually is an approach that Reuven did in fact engage in an act of immorality with his father's Pilagesh. So the Gemara is pointing out over here, Tzmachlokes Tanoim. So someone, and again, it all really comes down to how you understand that word Pachas. Rabbi Gamliel says, Pilalta means you davened, from like Lashon of Hispalel. Pilalta, Chalsa, you made yourself sick. Zarcha Tfilascha, your prayer shone forth, which is another way of saying that Reuven, you did tshuva for what it is you did. Amar Rabbi Gamliel, Adayin Tzrichin Aru L'Modi. We still need the Modi. Rabbi Lazar HaModi, because Rabbi Lazar HaModi says, that's the Modi. Amar Hafuch Es HaTeva V'Darsha. change, switch the word around and darshan it. Zazata, you trembled. Hir asa, you drew back. Parcha chet mimcha, and the sin flew away from you. Arava Amarava says, Amri Rabbi Yirmiya bar Abba, Zacharta ancho shaldavar, you remembered the sin of the matter. Chalisa atzmicha, holy gadol, you went ahead and you made yourself sick with a great sickness. Pirashta melachto, and you've gone ahead and separated yourself from sins. Rabbi said, we see over here, Reuven definitely did tshuva. The shaila is, what did he do? Did he actually go ahead and engage in an act of immorality with his father's concubine? Or did he simply go ahead and, not simply, nothing simple about this, or did he move the bed of his father? Either way, the Torah is treating what he did as an incredibly severe act, but the idea that ultimately, although as a result of this, he abdicates his position really as, effectively as the Bechor, at the end of the day, the Torah also recognizes that he did tshuva for the act. Reuven, ben Eli, ben Shmuel, David, Shlomo, Yosh, Simon, fine. Amr, that's just a mnemonic for remembering the discussion to come. Amr, let's do a little bit later. Amr of Shlomo Rachmani, Amr of Yonasan. Cholo Omar bin Eli Chatu Eina Ela Toev. Whoever says that the sons of Eli sinned are making a mistake. Shene Amar. Now remember, Eli is the Kohen Gadol. Eli is the Kohen Gadol in the Mishkan at the times of Shmuel. Right? At the beginning of Shmuel Aleph. So what happens? Visham Shnei bin Eli. So the Navi says that in the Beis HaMikdash, there were in the Mishkan, there were the two sons of Eli, Chofni u'Pinchas, Kohanim la'Hashem. Chofni and Pinchas, who are Kohanim la'Hashem. Sover lo kirav, he holds like Rav, do'am Rav Pinchas, lo chata, I'm sorry. Sover lo kirav, do'am Rav, Pinchas, lo chata. Rav holds that Pinchas did not sin. Makish chafni le Pinchas, and we equate chafni with Pinchas. Ma Pinchas lo chata, af chafni lo chata. Just like Pinchas didn't sin, so too chafni didn't sin. Ella ma'ani mekaim. So now if we say that both of the sons of Eli didn't sin, what do you do with the pasuk that says Asher yishkevun es hanoshim? The Navi says that when the women would come to go ahead and offer their offerings in the Mishkan, Chafni and Pinchas would sleep with the women. So what does that mean? What does that mean? If you tell me they didn't sin, what does it mean they slept with the women? Mitoch shesho kinein shlohochu etzel ba'alein ma'ale alein akosav kilu shachvum. Rather than the Gemara says that what ended up happening is women would come to the Mishkan in order to give their bird offerings. Right? A woman gives a bird offering after one of two times, either after she gave birth, and now she's purifying herself from that post-birth tumah, or zivos, she has some kind of emission, and ultimately she brings a carbon to purify herself. She can't be with her husband until after she brings that carbon. The problem with Chafni and Pinchas, as Rashi points out, is that what used to happen is they would try to extort additional meat from the various offerings from the people who brought carbonos. So because that when women would bring carbonos, see, often you don't have to wait at the Mishkan until your carbon is brought, you drop it off and you leave. The women were concerned that the offering was not going to be offered, and therefore they would wait there even overnight to make sure that the offering was offered. Because of that, they were not with their husbands on that night after they gave their karbanos, and therefore again, the Navi faults Chafni and Pinchas. Because Chafni and Pinchas kept wives away from their husbands, ultimately the Navi said it's as if they slept with these women themselves. But that ultimately the Gemara is telling us they didn't actually commit this particular sin. Yes, they engaged in inappropriate behavior, but not this level of perverse inappropriateness. Alright, so we'll stop over here. We'll pick up right over here tomorrow. We have a good one more day of beautiful Agatha.